Well, speaking of the American Legislative Exchange Council, is there anybody out here who doesn't yet know what ALEC is? Nobody, right? Thanks in large part to the Center for Media and Democracy and ALEC Exposed, there's really not many people left who don't know what ALEC is. But before that was the case, way back in the mid-90s, this next speaker actually became a member of ALEC and reported on that for the Progressive magazine. Mark Pocan, when he was in the state legislature here in Wisconsin, joined ALEC because he thought it was important for people to know where his colleagues were going and what they were talking about and why they were coming back with this boilerplate legislation to push through in our state legislature to impose this pro-corporate, anti-people agenda on the citizens of Wisconsin and other states all over the country. So Mark Pocan went to ALEC, and he wrote about ALEC's upside-down world. He called it a dating service for corporations and Republican politicians. And he was right. He pointed out how much money the corporations paid to join and how little money the legislators paid to join. It was pretty clear who was getting the benefit of this organization. He's also a hilarious man. His description of those conventions was so readable, so fun, and so clear, very much like the YouTube videos he used to produce when he was my state representative, where he would explain issues in his off-the-cuff, plain-spoken style. He was born and raised in Kenosha. He comes from a blue-collar union family. He's a brilliant guy, but he also can talk to people in a fun, easygoing, relaxed way. He loves his job. That's a great thing to see in a progressive. And one of the highlights of election night when Mark Pocan went on to represent us in the U.S. Congress was when he jumped on stage right after Tammy Baldwin beat Tommy Thompson and became our U.S. Senator. And he and his husband, Phil, had a great big kiss at the Monona Terrace Convention Center, and the crowd went wild. We are so proud and so glad to be represented by Congressman Mark Pocan.
Good morning, progressives. And thank you, Ruth. So much for that introduction. I appreciate it. It is no place that I would rather be on a beautiful Wisconsin fall morning than with everyone here at Fighting Bob Fest to celebrate the legacy of Fighting Bob and all that it's meant for progressive values and for generations of Wisconsin leaders who followed him. But I'd like to do something else this morning, and it might shock you. I'll warn you ahead of time. I want to be an advocate for the Tea Party. Not that one. Not the Tea Party of Scott Walker and Ron Johnson and Ted Cruz. I'm talking about the real Boston Tea Party. And maybe the need for another real Tea Party. But first, let's talk about what the original Tea Party was actually about. It was a protest against the British East India Trading Company, the largest corporation at its time on the globe, who among its shareholders included the king and the wealthy elite. A group of colonists fed up with the unfair advantages government gave large corporations over individuals and local businesses gathered in the streets of Boston to kick off a revolution. They were average citizens fed up with the way that they were being taken advantage of by a government that was more interested in the profits of the East India Trading Company than themselves. They were upset because they viewed the Tea Act as a massive corporate giveaway that hurt real people and small businesses in the colonies. If only we could convince the current Tea Partiers to understand that the Tea Party they claim to be inspired by wasn't fighting against a government, they were fighting against a government that had been taken over by corporations and their interests. The Tea Party they claimed to be inspired by wasn't fighting against an increase in taxes paid by American colonists, they were fighting against a tax cut for the East India Trading Company, which instead was costing local people on our continent. In other words, it was about plutocracy. And what we are facing today in so many ways is no different than in 1773. Our progressive movement is still in the same fight against the infestation of corporations in our government. Throughout history, it was progressives that fought corporate control. It was progressive values that bust the trusts, and it was progressive values that broke up monopolies. And as long as we have corporations more interested in profits than people, progressives have to keep fighting. We have to keep fighting for our country and not the one that the so-called Tea Party is trying to create. And what's happening in Wisconsin and across the country is a battle between two very different visions of society. One vision is a country where the very lucky have all the cards. They have the money, they have the influence, they have it all. And the rest of us just keep pushing that big boulder up a sandy hill. The other vision is a country where if you work hard and play by the rules, you have a fair shot to make it in America. I'm a product of that vision. I grew up in a working class family in Kenosha. I worked through college and started a small business, and today, because of many of you, I am fortunate and lucky enough to serve as a representative in the U.S. Congress. Thank you. And I want you to know that I fight every single day in Congress, knowing this seat was represented by fighting Bob La Follette and Bob Kastenmeier and Tammy Baldwin. I'm fighting against a Tea Party that has forgotten its roots and has been usurped by the very same big corporations the Tea Partiers of 1773 were opposed to. Because today's Tea Party is not a grassroots movement, but rather a corporate-fueled organization led by billionaires like the Koch brothers and Sheldon Adelson. Their principles are to cut corporate taxes, demolish Wall Street regulations, and give big corporations greater power and influence in our electoral system. Hardly revolutionary stuff. They have supported a repeal of the estate tax and capital gains taxes. They oppose the expanding of health care via the Affordable Care Act. They've said that retirement security should be your personal responsibility, and they support voucherizing Medicare and turning Social Security into individual investment accounts. Are you noticing a theme here? What we really need to have is a real Tea Party that's true to its 1773 roots, with populist and progressive values and against the big money corporate interests. Wouldn't it be great to have a Tea Party that would fight for the rights of the middle class, for economic and social justice, and for peace? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to have a Tea Party that's on the side of the people and not a puppet of the corporations, and that thinks only people are people, and only real people have rights, including free speech rights? Yeah. Well, this is how bad it's gotten. The current Tea Party believes that corporations have the same rights as people. And unfortunately, so does a narrow majority of the Supreme Court. And as if it wasn't that they had enough of a voice already, the Citizens United ruling allowed the nation's millionaires and billionaires to use their wealth to drown out the voices of average Americans. It opened the floodgates and allowed unlimited secret corporate cash to infect our political system, and our current Tea Party cheered. Just this past week, a federal judge in Madison struck down Wisconsin's limits on contributions from political parties and political action committees. And it means their corporate masters are able to funnel endless amounts of money into shadow campaigns that poison our electoral system. And now they want to make it even harder to vote on top of all of that. And once the Tea Party got into office, all they want to do is dismantle government and give corporations even more power. My freshman term in Congress has been historic. Bad historic, not good historic. We have had the first government shutdown in 17 years, led by the de facto Speaker of the House, Ted Cruz, and his merry band of Tea Partiers in Congress. We are on track to be the least productive Congress in modern history. The famous Do-Nothing Congress of 1948, that did so little they got dubbed the Do-Nothing Congress, passed 350 bills in the first year of their session. We passed 88. We've seen Congress block legislation that would help and strengthen the middle class and ensure equality. And while the Tea Party and the GOP are blocking critical legislation to help the middle class, they can't stop talking about the need to cut taxes for corporations. They say if we just lower the rate, it'll broaden the base and create more jobs. Tax cuts for the rich, cut services for the rest of us. Austerity over prosperity. The Tea Party wants to cut taxes for Fortune 500 companies while many are already paying effectively 0%, zero taxes, zero responsibility. They're using tax havens in the Caribbean and other places around the country, or merging with foreign companies through a process called inversion to change their mailing address to avoid paying taxes. In fact, right now in the Cayman Islands, there is a 5-story building that is the home to nearly 19,000 corporations, each about that size, a P.O. box. We're fighting every day to close those tax loopholes that allowed big pharmaceutical companies and corporate deserters like Burger King to lower their tax burden by shifting their profits offshore, and we all end up paying more. You, me, small businesses, everyone ends up paying more, except for those big corporations. And they still want to have their free speech rights to pollute our political process. I don't know about you, but to me, that's not free speech. That just seems like really, really, really expensive speech to all the rest of us. Yeah. But that's the agenda of the modern Tea Party. And the Tea Party's impact isn't just in Washington. You can also see the effects of the Tea Party right here in Wisconsin. As bad as it can sometimes be in Washington, it's still not as bad as coming home and having Scott Walker as my governor. You know, I often get asked why Wisconsin is such a purple state. How do we elect Scott Walker and Ron Johnson one year and Tammy Baldwin and President Obama the next? Well, I tell people we're not a purple state because of our politics. Hell, if people vote, I think we're a beautiful shade of indigo blue. But if we look purple, it's because Scott Walker has damaged and bruised our reputation across the nation. And the real reason he's drug our state through the mud, well, some of you may not know this, so I'm going to let you in on a little secret, all right? Come closer. Yeah, be quiet about this. Scott Walker is running for president in 2016. And there's not a thing he's done or a thing he won't do to help get him there. So in Wisconsin and across the nation, we've seen the damage that this current Tea Party has done. That's why I say we don't need the current so-called Tea Party, but we need a real Tea Party that'll fight for the middle class and not big corporations. That's why it's up to us to fight for our progressive values, the same values those patriots in Boston fighted for so long ago. We need to keep fighting against the Wall Street banks, which have become too big to fail and too big to jail and still threaten our economy. We need to keep fighting to make sure that the wealthiest individuals and corporations pay their fair share and to stop corporate deserters from leaving everyone else to pick up the tab. We need to keep fighting for trade policies that prioritize workers and the environment and food safety and not just corporate profits. We need to keep fighting to reverse the harmful effects of climate change on our planet and for the legacy of Gaylord Nelson, Alda Leopold, and John Muir. We need to keep fighting to help people who work hard and play by the rules, to raise the minimum wage and ensure full-time work will keep you out of poverty. We need to keep fighting for comprehensive immigration reform because we know our diversity is our strength. We need to keep fighting for students who want a quality, affordable education without graduating with crushing levels of debt. We need to keep fighting against Republican attempts to privatize Medicare and Social Security. We need to keep fighting so workers have a voice in their lives and make sure that everyone has a right to organize a union without government interference. And we need to keep fighting against the war hawks and war profiteers who keep pushing us into costly, unnecessary, misguided wars. So does that make sense?
Yes.
Is that what Midwestern progressive values are about?
Yes.
Is that what fighting Bob La Follette and Paul Wellstone and Russ Feingold and Bernie Sanders and Tammy Baldwin stand for?
Yes.
I want to close today in the progressive spirit of someone who is so passionate and inspiring that some people even called him Wisconsin's third senator, our late friend Senator Paul Wellstone of Minnesota. His famous quote, and some of you may remember, was not, "We do better when a few of us do better," or "when the rich do better," or "when big companies do better." He said, "We all do better when we all do better." We are in this together, you and me, even our Tea Party friends. We all do better when we all do better. That's what being a progressive is all about. The people at the Boston Tea Party knew that. Fighting Bob knew that. Paul Wellstone knew that. You know that. Now let's make sure the rest of the nation and the rest of our state knows that. Thank you so much, and have a great Fighting Bob Fest. Thank you.